Thanks for tuning into the Central Church Podcast. We exist to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. To learn more about Central, access tons of content, and find the location nearest you, download our Central Church app. But for now, we hope you enjoy this message, and we're so glad you could join us today.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you guys. Great to have each of our Central Family locations and those joining us online. Thank you for being with us today. You know, it was, over 10 years ago now, there was this amazing young woman who was doing spoken word poetry and living out of her car and driving all over the country. And everybody that would have her and every church that would host her and every living room that would open up and invite friends to, she would perform and she would share the love of Jesus and she would share the message of Jesus through her spoken word poetry. She had grown up on the streets of San Francisco. Her dad had led an urban ministry serving the homeless and addicts and gang members and everything else. And that was her family growing up. And God just used her vagabond spirit in such a powerful way as she went around the country. And in the midst of all that, our paths crossed. And Lori and I just loved her from the beginning. And then we were pretty excited because there was another individual named Guy. And Guy had been serving on our staff at Central for several years and was kind of part of our family. He was first on the youth team, and then Guy went on to lead some of our different locations. And then Guy saw this traveling spoken word artist named Hosanna. And it was game over. Game over. And so we were so thrilled when they fell in love and they got married and they continued to travel around the country and the world sharing the message of Jesus. And, you know, it's been amazing to watch. God has taken somebody with a willingness to go anywhere, literally anywhere, and to do anything, to live out of a car, to do whatever she had to do to share the message of Jesus. And he has given this individual bigger and bigger platforms, bigger and bigger venues. She now speaks to tens of thousands of people all over the country. She's on many of the largest stages in churches in America. God has just raised her up and put his hand on her. And her name is Hosanna Wong. And we feel like at Central, she's ours. You know, we sort of claim her like family, right? She's just written a brand new book. Christine Kane wrote the foreword. It's called How Not to Save the World. And this is one of my favorite books I've read in a long time. It's the truth about revealing God's love to the people right next to you. And I'm excited because Hosanna has agreed to come and speak this weekend. I'm not only excited to introduce her to some of you, you're going to love her, but I'm also excited about the message of this book because I feel like for us as a church family, this is a book we need. And this is a book our believers, followers in Jesus, followers of Jesus need right now in their lives because it's all about how God can use us without being perfect, just our everyday selves, to impact somebody else and to show his love. And our world needs that desperately right now. So I am thrilled to introduce to you somebody who is part of our family. Let's treat her like family, Central. Give it up big for Hosanna Wong!
Hey, Central family. It is such a joy and honor to be with you all. It was 10 years ago that I came across Central Church and met a really good-looking guy named Guy and started dating him. And then I met Lori Wilhite, who ended up becoming one of my very best friends in the whole world, and meeting Judd Wilhite, who became one of my greatest teachers and mentors. And then 7 years ago, Judd married my husband and I. I want to show you a picture of us on the screen of our wedding day. It's me, Judd, Lori, and Guy. And I want to show you that because we've been in the middle of a series called We Are Family, which is about how we as a church, you know, we're made to do life together. It's kind of a play on the words friends and family. And I just wanted to share that because we really are a family, a unique community here of what God does at Central Church. And I also wanted to share with you that some of the most important people in my life I've met here, because I want you to know that all of us today, we all have something in common. We all want this to go really well. My name is Hosanna Wong, and today I want to tell you a story of a woman named Mrs. Lee. She was the wife of a dentist, and she was in her 60s. And one day she was doing her chores in the evening, like she did every evening, and she heard a knock at the door, and she went to answer. And there she saw a young man standing there asking if he could sell her a vacuum cleaner. I don't know if you knew this, but door-to-door salesmen were the original Instagram influencers. Did you know this? They would unwrap the box, show you how to use it. They got it done. She opened the door, invited him in, sat at a table. They had a conversation. She asked him about his life, and she shared with him kind of what she was doing that day, asked him what he was doing that day, and he went on to say that he actually had been a heroin addict for the past 15 years. He fought in a Chinese gang. There was men who were out to get him, women who feared him. He had bullet holes alongside his calves from running from the police from the last time he robbed someplace. And he said he was pretty sure he could never change his life around. And Mrs. Lee, she responded with no shock. And she spoke with no shame. And instead of finding the things that they had in their lives that were very different, which were many, she found the thing that they had in common. And she said, you know, I've also had a void in my life that I've sought for years to fill. I've gone to all these wrong things too, trying to find the answers to my questions. And then I found Jesus. And now I've never been more whole and more healed and more free. I've never had more joy. I've never had more hope. Do you want to change your life around? Because I know the answer to both of our questions. And it wasn't this super cosmic spiritual moment, but it was a salesman on one knee in a cold dining room floor as he said yes, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Amen. And Mrs. Lee did not know that 5 years later, that young boy would grow into a man that would start an outreach to those living without homes and battling with addictions on the streets of San Francisco and would end up leading hundreds and thousands of people to Jesus Christ. And Mrs. Lee did not know that over 30 years after that, I get to be with Central Church telling you about the day she led my daddy to Jesus Christ. Come on. Jesus is still in the business of changing and transforming lives. I remember hearing that story when I was a little girl. I remember hearing that story of Mrs. Lee, and it changed everything for me because up until that point, I was raised on the streets of San Francisco, seeing my dad leading hundreds and thousands of those living without homes to Christ. He'd pray over someone, and 10 years later, they'd just come back like a deacon in a church, an owner of a woman's home. Now they're a father, a mother, a renewed soul. He's led more people to Christ than I will ever know. But I always thought, because I saw my dad do all these extraordinary things, that I had to do something big to do something important. I thought I must have to do something impressive to do something impactful. And it turns out that is a lie from the enemy. It is a lie the enemy wants all of us to believe so that we don't see the important work that God is calling us to right in front of us. It's a lie he wants us to believe. In fact, I have believed so many lies about myself that have held me back from stepping into my purpose and stepping into my calling and interacting with God and doing what he's called me to do. And maybe you've believed some of these lies too. Maybe you've believed lies like my story could never impact anybody. My story is too different, or my story is not different enough. My story has too much shame. God could never use someone with my background. Or maybe the lie, if I talk to people in my life about Jesus, they would think I'm a hypocrite because they know all the places I've been. Or the lie that some people are called to talk about Jesus and share God's love because they have the gift, but most of us are normal. Some of us feel like we're not smart enough, skilled enough, or spiritual enough to seal the deal. Or we're scared if we start talking about God, people are going to start asking us questions, and we're not going to have all the answers, and we just don't want to ruin this Jesus thing. And the enemy hopes we believe every single one of those lies. Because he knows that all of us believing those lies is the perfect plan of how not to save the world. It's the perfect plan of how not to show God's love to the people right in front of you. It's the perfect plan of how not to show God's love to the people in your families. It's the perfect plan of how not to lead people to Jesus. I know this because I am an expert at how not to save the world. I've done it so wrong. I've been aggressive about my faith. I've also been silent about my faith. I've been pushy in my relationships, and I've also given up on some of my relationships. And I have believed that there are some people in my life who will just never come to know God. It's impossible. And that is a lie. What I would love to do today is expose to you the truth. I have fumbled through this and faithfully studied God's word to discover the truth about how we can reveal God's love to the people right next to us. Yes, even in 2021, we can do it. And what we have to acknowledge is that for many of us in the room, whether you're new to church, new to this God thing, new to this Jesus thing, or you've been here for a while, a lot of us, when we talk about sharing God's love, it gets complicated because so many of us have seen it done so wrong. Oh man, I wish you could all see all the heads that are nodding like this. We've seen people be judgmental and mean and condescending and aggressive, and we don't want to be like that. First of all, that's not how Jesus treated people. Second of all, we at least like having friends. So if this is the only way to share about God, then for many of us, we just want to quote the great poet Ariana Grande and say, thank you, next. We don't want to have anything to do with that. But just because we've seen it done wrong doesn't mean we can't be the ones to do it right. So let's talk about how we're going to show God's love in 2021. How are we going to reveal God's love to our family members, to our coworkers, to our cities? I used to believe the lie that I had to do something big to do something important. But now I have looked at the life of Mrs. Lee, and that's what I want to share about today. What can we do if our skills aren't obvious? If we don't know everything that the Bible says, and we don't know God's answers to everybody's questions, if our platforms aren't booming, if it's not clear how to show God's love to some people, what can we do? I want to share with you three things that I discovered that Mrs. Lee did. These three things. If you're taking notes, write this down. Make invitations, have conversations, and share your story. You can make invitations, have conversations, and share your story without the fear of the end result. That's what Mrs. Lee did. She just made an invitation. She wasn't sure what he was going to say. She had a conversation. She didn't know what he's been. And then she shared her story and found this thing that they had in common. But Mrs. Lee wasn't the only person who lived this way. Jesus lived this way. When Jesus was on earth and he was like, how am I going to show people how to live? How am I going to show people how to treat other people? He was constantly making invitations, having conversations, and sharing stories. In fact, he was constantly having relationships with people even before they changed their behaviors. In fact, we have a story of Jesus and a man named Zacchaeus. It's in Luke 19, and there's this guy named Zacchaeus. He's up in a tree. Don't ask. It's a whole story. But he's up in a tree, and Jesus is like, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was actually a snake and a snitch. He was a tax collector who took more money than he was supposed to, even from his own family members. People did not like him. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm going to your house, and we're going to have a meal together. Jesus was doing this all the time. We see it again in Matthew 9. He sees a guy named Matthew, also a tax collector, with a terrible reputation that nobody liked, and he said, we're going to go have a meal together. Jesus was constantly having relationships with people that other people didn't like, and the religious people of his day, the people who knew the perfect plan of how not to save the world, they didn't like it. They wanted Jesus to be a tyrannical leader who would enforce religion. But Jesus didn't come to enforce religion. Jesus didn't even come to start a religion. Jesus came because he saw a bunch of us were broken, and he came to be the solution. Jesus really came to make a bunch of friends and set a bunch of his friends free. In fact, Jesus was so known for his relationships that even Jesus' haters defined him by his relationships. We see in Luke 7, his haters called him a friend of sinners, as if it was the worst accusation they could make to him. But to Jesus, it was a sign of success because it was the exact fulfillment of the mission he came on earth for. Jesus was known for his relationships, and he calls us to be too. What if the call that comes from Jesus is not this rigid mandate to convert? What if it's an invitation to go and have authentic, consistent relationships? What if what God is calling us to do is to truly connect with the people in our lives in a way that perhaps they've never connected with somebody before? Now, you may be thinking, friendships don't lead people to Jesus. We can't just go ye therefore and go make a bunch of friends. Like, we need to talk about Jesus. We need to share the good news with people. And that's fair. We will get there. But why would people believe us that the God we're talking about wants to know them if we don't even want to know them? If we're not careful, we will self-righteously aim to save a world while skipping knowing the world we claim we want to reach. How can we have real relationships, and how would that change our homes and change our church? We've been going through this series, We Are Family, going through Acts 1 and talking about how we're made to be in community. You're gonna become more of yourself and know more about God when you're here at church. We talked about how we can worship God and how worship draws us closer to God. And when we worship together, something happens. And this is what happens. We discover in Acts 1, 46 and 47, what will happen when you and I keep making invitations to come to church, to watch online, when you and I keep having conversations, talking to people about where they are, getting to know people. Acts 1, 46 and 47 tells us what is going to happen. We read this. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. And the Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. We learn here that as we keep inviting people and having conversations with people, worshiping together, more people are gonna find out how loved they are. So who can we invite? Who can we make an invitation to? Who can we have a conversation with? We might be feeling like, man, going to all of my friends' kids' soccer games and going out to Pizza Hut after may not result in them coming to church with me. Frankly, going to a game that's burning hot with squeezed out Capri Suns and melted ice coolers is not as picturesque as people coming to Jesus in arenas. But your friends aren't at those arenas. They're at their kids' soccer games. And what would your relationship do for them? What kind of door would that open for them? Receiving the invitation from your neighbors who are keeping inviting you over for dinner may feel a bit inconvenient, and you're pretty sure they've been hurt by the church and they would never want to come to church, and you have decided that since you don't like the end results, you're not going to even reach out or get to know them at all. I want to encourage you, church, don't let ordinary stand in the way of being obedient. And don't let results stand in the way of having relationships. Who can you invite, and what kind of conversation can you have? Now, for some of us, we're thinking, I want to make invitations. I really want people in my life to know God. And I want to have conversations and get to know people. And I want to share my story because there's people in my life who don't know God. But there are some relationships in our lives where we're thinking, man, I can't connect with them about anything, much less God. A lot of our relationships are broken. We have family members who we haven't talked to in a while. We have friends who are pretty sure we can never lead to Jesus. What do we do then when we don't even know how to cultivate a true connection? Where can we start? I want to share with you a story that I've never shared before this point. I got permission from my baby brother, Elijah, to share it as we release this brand new book into the world this week. And I want to share with you this story about my baby brother, Elijah. When I was 18 years old, my daddy, my hero, my best friend who led all those people to Jesus, he got cancer and he suddenly passed away. And my baby brother, Elijah, was 12. And Elijah shut down emotionally. He didn't want to talk about anything, much less God. And I ministered to Elijah so wrong. I knew the perfect plan of how not to save Elijah. I kept trying to tell him, God's going to use your testimony one day. Stop being sad. Stop being depressed. Come on and see the world the way that I see it. And I realized that when I would call Elijah, because I was 7 hours away in college calling him, he wouldn't want to talk to me about anything except comic books. Now look, I used to like me some comic books, like how a normal person just likes comic books and superheroes. But you know when you meet someone who's like into superheroes, it's like a whole other level. Watching a Marvel movie with them is like a whole other cinematic experience. That was Elijah. All Elijah wanted to do was talk about comic books. And I was so mad at him that he would not step into my world. But at a point, I realized I had to step into his. And I had to start becoming obsessed with those comic books. I would drive 7 hours into San Francisco and we'd go to vintage stores and look at comic books. When Marvel started making movies, I would go in, wear a Marvel t-shirt, get a big popcorn, and we watch the Marvel movies together. And let's just settle this DC Comics versus Marvel's debate right now. Is that okay? Let's just settle this right now, okay? DC has better villains because the Joker is the best villain of all time. All time, there's no debate. But Marvel has better movies. What are we supposed to do? The Bible doesn't technically say that, but I feel like Jesus would back me up on that. That's just what I think. Don't send me hate email. You can send it to Judd. He'll love it. That's just what I think. I'd go in and watch these movies with Elijah, and it was years and years and years of me just trying to connect with him, just trying to see the world the way that he saw it. What does God call us to do in our relationships? Is there a way for people in our lives to know how loved they are? This is what the Bible says that we are called to do. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is what we are called. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, ambassadors in our world typically have to be bilingual. They have to know two languages. If they are going to represent a king or a queen or a leadership of one nation and go to another nation, they're going to have to know the different wars that nation has gone through, the different things that culture has gone through. They're gonna have to become bilingual and know both languages so they can accurately convey what their leadership wants to say to the people that they're speaking to. When God calls us ambassadors, what is he calling us to learn? I wanna break it down to two things he's calling us to learn. So you and I know how to make connections and how to show people how loved they are, how to lead people to Jesus, bring them to our church, be a part of our family. I want to show you the two things. One is we need to learn the words and ways of those around us. We need to learn the words and ways of those around us because some of us know the Bible. We've been in church for a long time. We know some of the sermons that we've heard kind of around church. We can quote it to people, but we don't know the questions people today are actually asking. So we don't know how to give them God's answers to their real questions. Do you know why your neighbors have been hurt by the church and why they don't want to talk about God? Do you know why your family members are closed off to getting to know you? Do you know your baby brother's favorite superhero? Do you know the lens of the people you're talking to so you can communicate a very important message to them? Maybe that's a language some of us can get a little bit better at. I wonder if learning the words and ways of those around us is the language that we're challenged to learn more of in this season. The second thing that we have to learn to be Christ ambassadors is we have to learn the words and ways of God. We have to know what God is saying, because some of us are the opposite. Some of us, we can hang out with anybody, people far from God, people who know God, we're a good hang. But when people ask us questions, we don't know God's answers. And we can know the words and ways of God when we're faithfully coming to church. If we miss it, we're watching faithfully online. When we are in God's word on our own, when we know what God is like and how God treats people, when we know that language, we can accurately show God's love to the people around us. In order to be Christ ambassadors, the call is kind of to become bilingual, to know both. Do you know God? Do you know what he says about you? Are you faithfully coming to hear what God's word says about you? Are you in the word of God yourself? That will help you show God's love better. That will help you show God's love more. And do you know the people around you, their lens of the world, their words and ways? That will help you answer the questions they're actually asking. It was years of having a relationship with my brother when finally I drove in to go to a San Francisco Giants game with him. Well, we didn't really go because we were broke, but we were outside the stadium with a little handheld radio and chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream. And we were walking around listening to the game, hearing the shouts. And finally I asked Elijah, "What do you think about God?" And he said, "I'm mad." It was the first time Elijah had ever opened up about his feelings to me. That was a lot of emotion for Elijah to share. And I didn't say anything back because I knew all the wrong words to say at this point. And I just listened to him and validated his every emotion. "I'm mad too. This isn't fair. Why has our family lost so much? This isn't what God wanted. I'm sad too." And we sat there together, tearing up together as our chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream turned into chocolate chip cookie dough milk. And we heard the shouts from the stadium as the Giants just won that game. And I don't really remember who they're playing, but everyone likes a good ending. So let's just say they beat the Dodgers. Let's just say they beat the Dodgers. Everyone loves a good ending. The Lord was glorified in everything. And it was years of consistently learning comic books with my brother to see the lens that he saw the world through. And then when I married my now husband, Guy, he got obsessed with comic books too. And it was 11 years later. 11 years of praying for Elijah. 11 years of fighting for Elijah. 11 years of wanting to give up. When finally we invited him over to come to our house, we opened the door. He sat at our table. We made an invitation. We had a conversation. And Elijah finally said, 11 years later, "Okay, I'm ready for the joy you have. That peace you have, I want it. And I know it's Jesus because I know your story. I've heard it 100 times. I am who I am. I talk about Jesus loud, consistently. Sometimes I rhyme. It's a whole thing." He knew. Because I don't have the right words. And I didn't have the right words either. Like, I didn't go to school for this. How do you lead somebody to Jesus? I'm sure any freshman at any Christian college could tear apart the words maybe that I used or how long it took me to lead Elijah to Jesus. But in that moment, I realized it did not matter. As my baby brother made Jesus his number one, as he said, "I turn away from my old life, from my sin, from my shame. I'm gonna follow Jesus forever." And once we said amen, it was kind of strange. Like, it wasn't like the movies. It was like, what do I do with my hands? Do we hug? Like, we're not a very affectionate family. Like, we're very Asian. So it's like, do you want to get some food? So we went and got some food. I'm sure I didn't do it perfectly. And if you want a guide to how to perfectly lead your loved ones to Jesus, I have no idea. But I do know that there's people in your life who need to know that they're not alone. And why would they believe us that the God we're talking about wants to be with them if we don't even want to be with them? Why would they believe us that the God we're talking about loves them right where they are if we don't even love them right where they are? God was not mad at us when we were far from him. Instead, he sent Jesus to come be Emmanuel, which means God with us where we really are. I want you to know, if you want to show people God's love many times, your greatest witness will be your withness. How are you coming alongside of people and being with them right where they are? How is your withness at home with your family members? How is your withness at work with your coworkers? How is your withness in your community, in your neighborhood, at our church? How is your withness? Many times sharing about Jesus is not a perfected spiritual speech that we have to talk at people. Many times it is coming alongside of them the way that Jesus did in being with them. How is your witness today? How can we show God's love to people the way he has shown it to us? Romans 5:8 tells us this. Romans 5:8 says it beautifully. It says that God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How can we love people the way that God has loved us? Before they love us, we love them. Before they choose us, we choose them. Before they fight for us, we fight for them. Before they step into our world, we step into theirs. There is a way for every single person we know to know how loved they are. And we have been uniquely positioned in their lives to show them exactly that. Now, I want to show you really quick this picture of my baby brother, Elijah. Is that cool? Can we put up a picture of Elijah? How cute, with our Marvel shirts. We're actually in front of the park that we watched my dad lead many without homes and battling with addictions to Jesus. We went back last month and took a picture in front. And Elijah and I have made the decision together that we're not going to believe the lie that we have to do something big to do something important. We've looked at the life of Mrs. Lee. We've looked at the life of Jesus and said, God, let us be people who open doors. Don't let us ever believe the lie that our role in all of this doesn't matter, that we have to do something impressive to do something impactful. But let us defeat the enemy's lies and say, how can we have better relationships with the people right next to us? And how can we come be with people? But I want to share you that picture of Elijah for a very specific reason. I want you to know that there were so many times where I wanted to give up on Elijah. I was so mad at Elijah that he wasn't as healed as I wanted him to be, not as whole as I wanted him to be, not as recovered as I needed him to be, that he didn't see me the way that I saw him. And I wanted to give up on Elijah. I wanted to stop praying for Elijah. I was thinking that maybe all of my calls to Jesus were going to voicemail, because he was not hearing me, and I wanted to give up on him. And if you are here today and there is someone in your life who does not yet know God, or you're raising children and you're not quite sure how you're going to lead them to Jesus or bring them to church, or you have a relationship with someone that's estranged, or you have family members, or you have some of your friends, your kids, their parents, you want to show them Jesus, but you're not sure how, you've been praying for them, you've been hoping for them, but you're tired. If you're tired today, if you're weary today, if you're exhausted today, I want to leave you with some hope. Galatians 6:9 says this: let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Family, the last thing I want to tell you today is don't give up. If I could give you any truth from the Word of God today, the truth I want to give you is don't give up. If you are tired and exhausted and overwhelmed today, don't give up. If there is a loved one you've been fighting for years, don't give up. If you've been praying for a situation to change, but you're not at the end of it yet, you're in the middle of it right now, I want you to know, don't give up. Don't believe the lie from the enemy that your prayers don't matter. Don't believe the lie from the enemy that your consistent relationships don't matter. Don't believe the lie from the enemy that you being who you are in your family is the most important place for you to be. That you being who you are in your community, that's the most important place for you to be. The enemy wants you to believe the lie that you're inefficient, that you're not enough, that you're not doing enough, that you're wasting your time so that you don't see the value of where you are and the relationships you're investing to right where you are. Don't give the enemy any more victory. Don't give up. I want to pray today for the people in the room who want to say, I will not give up. I want to pray for two categories of people. One category that says, I will not give up on myself. I will not believe the lie that I have to do something big to do something important. I will remember that exactly where I am is where God wants me right now. And I'm going to see how I'm going to make invitations and have conversations with the people in my life. I'm not giving up on myself. I know it's important that I'm here. And then I want to pray for a second group of people that says, there's someone in my life that I want to say I'm not giving up on them. A loved one, a family member, a coworker, and I'm saying I'm not going to give up praying for them. I'm not going to give up hoping for them. I'm not giving up. So can we do this today? Everyone watching, everyone with us, would you just stand to your feet, all of us together? Let's all stand to our feet together. And if you are in one of these two categories of people, you're saying, I'm not giving up on myself, or I'm not giving up on a loved one. I'm going to keep hoping and praying for them. If you're in either one of those categories, on the count of three, would you just shoot your hand up in the air, and we're going to pray for you. If you're in one of those categories, will you just shoot your hand up in the air on the count of three? One, two, three. Hands in the air. I see you, family. Keep your hands in the air wherever you are. Keep your hands in the air, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Now, God, I pray for our relationships. I pray for healing where people said there would be no healing. I pray for victory where people said there would be no victory. I pray for reconciliation where people said there would be no reconciliation. I pray that you would show us how we can be with people where they are, that you would show us, God, how to reveal your love to the people right next to us. And God, would you see every hand raised that's saying, we are not giving up, God. We will keep praying. We will keep hoping. We are believing, God, that everyone we know can know you. We are never giving up. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said together, amen and amen.